Guys, it is good to be here, ain't it? Well, you guys can sing. Oh, Derek got some pipes on him too, then. Guys, we're starting a new series this week. But first, I got to tell you this story. I just found out about it out in the hall. Y'all know Ben Nida? What's it, Ben Five? Ben, his mom's home from the hospital. She's doing good. Wednesday afternoon, Ben goes to his daddy. And I'm not sure how this actually goes. But Ben said, I got a kernel of corn in my ear. He had a kernel of corn stuck in his ear. And they couldn't get it out. And his dad said, Ben, how you get that corn in your ear? He said, it just fell in. It just fell in. I told Drew, I said, and they had to go to the ENT, didn't they? Ear, nose, and throat guy to get the kernel of corn out. I said, well, you could have waited until it grew, just jerked it out by the stalk. Then, but anyway, he said it just fell in. And things happen. But for the next few weeks, we're going to be very intentional. It's not nothing's just going to fall in. We're going to be intentional about seeking after the Lord with all our hearts. We're going to do it on purpose. And so I want to share with you, and I know I say it every week, one of my favorite verses, but this week it is one of my favorite verses. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. One of the greatest things about our Lord and who He is that when we pursue Him, we will find Him. And if we're earnest and we're passionate about doing this, He will reward us. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be really intentional when we seek God. So as far as for the beginning of this, I thought I would point out at least three fundamental truths that are rewards that you and I are going to discover. I know we will on this journey in the next few weeks. And I want to look at this story found in Mark chapter 5 where a man is desperate. And in his desperation, he seeks out Jesus. And in this story, you're going to see this story reveal those three fundamental rewards and those truths that come to anyone who earnestly and diligently and passionately seek God. So I want to look at Mark chapter 5. Let's get into this. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around Him while He was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at His feet and pleaded earnestly with Him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Now this is the part that really captured me. So Jesus went with him. I'm going to tell you why this captured me. Jesus is with a crowd of people. And his focus is on them. I mean, he is really ministering to this whole crowd of people. And all of a sudden, his focus went from the crowd to one desperate man seeking him. Suddenly, so Jesus went with him. See, because some folks think that God, and maybe it's you, think that God's out in the distance, and he's involved with so many things that he doesn't have time to pay attention to me and you. But that couldn't be further from the tree. That's right. So Jesus went with him because he had reached out earnestly, diligently, passionately to his heart. Guys, when we reach out that way in our hearts, he's there. So Jesus went with him. It just reminds me of the parable of the good shepherd. You know, when he had 100 sheep and went to missing one, he left the 99. And he went after that one that was lost. And that tells you the depths of God's love for you and for me, because this applies to us. He loves us. We become personal with God. You are personal with God. When I think of how he sacrificed for me, when I think of how God loved me enough to send his son, I see just how much he loves me. And for a moment after I realize that, I can see a reflection of what I truly mean to him. And so can you. My son Luke and I have been talking about the prodigal son this week. He's going to be giving a talk. He's going to be sharing the word of God with a bunch of young boys up in North Carolina about the prodigal son. And you know, as we talk, I just happen to think, you know, a lot of us try to find our identity out in the world. You know, we leave and we go out there and we find out soon that's just not our identity. I've told my kids since the day they were born, you are a child of the King. That's our identity. Is we're sons and we're daughters of God. And when I think about that, I can see the heart of God that he has for me, that he loves me. And then it becomes personal. Me and him. It becomes vertical. Real, real personal. So the great first reward, if you're filling in your blank, is this, as we see in this story, is that this is going to be a reward. You will know God's heart. You'll know God's heart. You'll know his heart when you seek him passionately. Jump down to James 4:8. I put some in here that I'm probably not going to go over, but I was just going. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So for the next few weeks, we're going to try to draw near to God so he will draw near to us. We're going to seek the presence of God. And it's going to be great. It's going to be good. I'm telling you, it's going to be good. But that's why we're here. We're wired this way. We're wired to seek after him. You know, in Colossians, don't you remember we learned we're made by God and for God? We're made to seek after him. We're wired to know his heart. And I'm going to tell you something. When you discover his heart for you, it's going to change you. It'll change everything about you. You're going to see yourself differently. You're not going to see yourself as beaten up. You're going to see yourself as a child of the King. You're not going to see yourself as broken anymore. You're going to see yourself as better than fixed. You're going to identify yourself in Christ. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a child of the King. And I'm going to tell you something else. He has a royal purpose for your life. Every one of you. He has a royal purpose for your life. You're a child of the King. Let's go on and let's discover the second. That's a good first reward, isn't it? Yeah. I'm telling you. Let's just go. We got more to come. This is just the icing of the cake. Let's go and look at the second great reward. And I love this. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. Now this is after he done got Jairus, you know, and now they're on the way to his house. They followed him. They're still all over him. They done heard about all the stuff. And a woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. And I love the King James verses. She touched the hem of his garment because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized, well, I love this, that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? And the disciples were like, dude, you see all these people crowding against you, and you can ask, who touched me? Really? But this is what I like Jesus done. He wasn't dismayed. Remember, he's on his way to a dying girl. Crowds gathering around. He says, but Jesus kept looking around to see. He's looking for that one that was desperately seeking him. He stopped. Oh, it just tears me up in a good way. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. But then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and said, daughter's dead. They said, why bother the teacher anymore? Jesus did it again, ignoring what they had said. Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid. Just believe. I love it. This lady's desperate. She says, if I just touch the hem of his garment. And I love the part where it says power. The power of God was released. When she passionately, she desperately sought after God. And she touched him. And the power was released. Woo! She'd been doing things on her own for 12 years. One was released from his garment. Just reaching out to be in his presence is what she did, to touch his garment. All them people touched him, but one touched him who was desperate, who was earnest, who was passionate, who was in a great crisis and in great need. Jesus Christ responded to that touch and recognized it. I told you, he just would not move on until he found out who that person was. I'm going to tell you something. You search him. You diligently search him. You earnestly seek his presence, his touch, his love. He will not move until he comes and responds to you. He will stay. You know, that just reveals the very heart of our Savior. He was in the crowd looking for that one again. Had all this going on. All these people wanted to grasp at him. And he said, I'm going to stay here till I find that one. We're going to stay right here. I'm going to tell you, that reveals a lot of love that he has. So the next few weeks, as you earnestly set your heart and mind and you seek him like you never have before, you're going to know him like you never have before. And it's going to change you. I'm going to tell you what else it's going to do. It's going to bring life to you as you're touched by faith. I'm telling you, it's going to be good. Now, if you don't want an encounter with Jesus Christ, don't come. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I believe. And I don't want you hindering nothing. I mean, think about it. But then back up to, then my mind went back to being a dad. Because you think about Jairus here. They're on the way. I ain't doing nothing spectacular. I'm just wiping my nose. Think about Jairus here. Now, they're on the way. He's heard the story. He's in a hurry. His daughter's dying. This lady says, you know, I've been having this problem for 12 years. Now, if I'm Jairus, I'm going to say, Jesus. She's had this problem for 12 years. Another day ain't going to hurt. I mean, I'm just being Jim. My daughter's dying. And you're going to stop and you're going to wait for this interruption? But it took me a long time. And now at 55 years old, I can tell you this. Don't rush past divine interruptions in your life. Don't rush. Don't rush past divine interruptions in your life. Because sometimes when you think things are falling apart, they're actually falling into place. It's actually coming out pretty good for you. If you're writing that down, because that is good. Don't rush past divine interruptions in your life. Because sometimes at the point of your greatest need is going to be your greatest miracle. Wherever you're at, it could be your greatest miracle. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Just believe. He looked at Jairus and said, don't be afraid. Just believe. Can you imagine that? I mean, as a dad, mom, how dark it was. And this man's life, they just told him his daughter was dead. Now, this man, remember, we talk about it all the time, how we as men are protectors and providers, and his wife's home alone dealing with this. And he wants to rush to get her. And Jesus looks at him and says, don't be afraid. Just believe. That voice, those words had to just pierce this dark. Be afraid, just believe. When we earnestly seek him, not only will we know his heart, but number two, we will hear his voice. When we earnestly, passionately, diligently seek him, we will hear his voice. And there is nothing like the voice of God speaking into your life, especially in moments of crisis. Especially in moments of great need. That's why I'm going to encourage you for the next few weeks to pray and to seek God. That's why you need people around your life who are speaking the word of the Lord to you. When that voice of God comes, I'm telling you, it changes things. Because suddenly we have hope. The voice of God gives us hope. Jesus is speaking in hopeless and desperate situations. Jairus, his faith was strengthened to believe. Even though the world was telling him no, the world said, Jairus, your daughter's dead. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Just believe. Those words had to just echo through his mind. Don't be afraid. Just believe. You better get around some folks that speak the word into your life. Because when fear hits us, when those words come to us that you know, your daughter's dead or something, we first want to run. We first want to run. But Jesus said, don't be afraid. Believe. Stand fast, Jairus. Stand fast with me. But hell wants us to run from the presence of Jesus Christ. They want us to run. I got a message a couple of weeks ago from Lindsey Coker. And I don't know if they're here in this service. They may come to the 11. But her dad, Corky, had been diagnosed with cancer on a Thursday or on a Friday. He had a tangerine-sized tumor in his colon. They were scared. He's only 44. I'm going to tell you something. She called and she said, can you ask the church to pray? Can you ask the church to pray for my dad? Instead of running scared from the presence of the Lord, she came to the Lord. She was scared. I'm going to tell you something. They done emergency surgery on him Sunday. Got out that thing. He's clear. He's cancer-free. There ain't none in his lymph nodes. There ain't nothing. He got it out. He got it out. But what impressed me was she ran to the Lord. She wanted to come to the presence of God. And we're going to have to do that. And we're going to have to battle through these things to stay in the presence of the Lord. And fear is one of our big enemies. We're going to have to battle through that if we want to stay in the presence of the Lord, because hell does not want us to be in the presence of the Lord.
That's right.
Amen? You're going to have to be ready. So I want you to get people in your life to discern the voice of God. Get people in, I'm going to say that again, get people in your life to discern, to help you discern the voice of God. As you seek Him, you will learn His voice. It's why you come to church. It's why you come to worship. It's essential. It's where you learn to hear the voice of God. And through His Word. His voice, I'm going to tell you something, you'll always recognize it, because it's going to lift you up. It's going to encourage you and strengthen you and put hope in the midst of the most desperate situations. If it doesn't lift you up and it doesn't encourage you, it ain't from God. It ain't from Him. You know, but that's one of the great rewards of seeking diligently, earnestly, you know, the heart of God. And when you seek God with all your heart, you will find Him. Let's look at the third reward. We're on the back page. Oh, we've been on the back page. Y'all have. I haven't. Mark 5:37-42. I love this right here. He did not let anyone follow Him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. I just thought this was kind of funny right here. Just that verse. Because I have a mind like Peter. I think John, you know, he's a sweet guy. Everybody liked him. He's a loved one. And he probably didn't gloat, you know, because he was one of the guys that got to go with Jesus. But Peter, when he was chosen, I mean, he looked at everybody and he went by. Backstage pass. It has nothing to do with the sermon. I just thought I'd throw that. It kind of doesn't have anything to do. But you can see him doing that. I can see him doing it. I like it. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, he took charge. Jesus ain't no wimp. He says, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead but asleep. What'd they do? They laughed at him. Then what'd he do? He put them all out. After he put them all out, that's why I say, I don't want you to hinder what God's going to do on this mountaintop. He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum. Let's say that together. Talitha kum. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Y'all just go with me. It's supposed to be Hebrew, but I'm putting a little rock mart in there. I know. So let's say it one more time. Talitha kum. I want y'all to practice that this week. It just means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. Guys, in times of crisis, here's what I want you to know. You better let followers of Christ go with you. In times of crisis, you better let followers of Christ go with you so that they can speak the heart of God into you. You better let them go. Because here's what I'm trying to tell you. It matters who you travel with. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what age group you're in. I don't care what grade you're in. I don't care if you're drawing Social Security. It matters who you travel with. It matters. I'll say it again. I've said it 100 times. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. People, those folks that we allow closest to us have major influences on our lives. Don't holler at me, tell me how strong you are and you're going to change him. You better be careful. You better watch who you travel with. You better watch who you travel with. The world laughs at us because of our faith in Jesus, just like they did him. The world laughs at us. I love what Jesus did. He put him out to house. here today and you laugh about what we believe, all that, you need to know I've been working out. And I ain't even talking about physically. I've been praying. I've been praying. You're not going to hinder the Holy Spirit from moving on this mountain. Not going to do it. Say it with me again. Talitha Koum. Talitha Koum. Girl, get up and walk. Reason why I want us to learn that Talitha Koum is it represents Jesus speaking. He spoke lives into our people. And we need to be an instrument of affirmation. One of my devotions this week, I'm telling you guys, we need to speak positively into people. And some of you guys want to know why I don't hang around you, I'll tell you. I don't want to hang around. There's two kinds of people. There's folks that see the silver lining in every cloud. Then there's folks that see the cloud in every silver lining. If you see the cloud in every silver lining, don't expect me to talk to you too long on the phone. There ain't many people I talk too long on the phone, but I can come in. My wife said that was Kyle, wasn't it? I said, yeah, how'd you know? I just know it was Kyle. You know why I speak to Kyle for a long time? He encourages me. He's a silver lining kind of man. He encourages me. He strengthens me. I'm going to tell you, you call me and you a cloud in the silver lining, I got to go real quick. I got diarrhea, I got to go really bad. Just can't. So if I ever tell you I got diarrhea, you get on my nerves. Amen. Amen. Leads to the number third reward. We feel his touch. That's the reward we get for seeking God. We feel his touch. We were made to feel his touch. Every one of us long for that. Every one of us long for the embrace of our Father. Every last one of us. And some of us have never experienced that. And that's why we need the body of Christ. That's why I hated to break up y'all doing that a while ago. Some of you guys were hugging and carrying on and stuff. We need that. We need the touch of each other. And we come on Sundays and we receive that embrace of our Heavenly Father. Let me read Ephesians 1:23. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Guys, what that means is the church is to be central in your life and not just an add-on on the weekends. Y'all get that? It's to be central in your life every day because the church is Christ's body. And God created the church so that he could be discovered and so that we could discover and know his love for us. That's why the church was created. And so that we could know his voice and then become that voice. That's why we're here in a world. And then that we could feel his touch. His touch upon our lives and how it changes us. But we got to keep the church central in our lives. I love what Rick Warren put in. That's why I put it in. When in pain, pray. When you worry, worship. When in grief, share it in your small group. Share your burdens with each other. That's why God created the church. So the next few weeks, we're going to earnestly seek him. We're going to passionately, diligently look at his heart. I want to read this next verse together. David pointed out, we like to read together. Me and him was talking this week. I want to read this last verse, 2 Chronicles 16:9. And let's read it. Stand up. Y'all ready to read? It's in your outline. It ain't like you got to look it up. It may be even up there. It is. That Lord's good, ain't she? 2 Chronicles 16:9. Here we go. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Sing it one more time. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Oh, man. Isn't that good? All right, now one more. What's the word I want you to remember? Talitha Kum. Talitha Kum. Rock, march, die. We're going to seek Him. Ben, I want you to come on up. We're going to seek Him. We're going to look after Him. We're going to pursue Him. I'm telling you guys, I joke around, but we're going to be serious. We're going to seriously seek Him. You know why? Because I want to see miracles. I want to touch Him. I want to see all kind of things happen. I want to encounter with Him. I'm telling you, when I pray that I want to hear the very shuffling of His sandaled feet, I want to hear it. I want to hear His voice. I want those unexpected voices come to me from God when I'm sitting walking, when I'm just standing around. I want Him to talk to me. I'm serious about this. And guys, we got to look after Him. Don't you listen to the world. The world's going to tell you negative stuff. You listen to God. Surround yourself with people. It's important. It matters who you travel with. It matters. Let's pray. My Lord, let me, hold on a second. Is that Taylor? Come on up here. You and your wife come on up here, man. I just now realized who that was. Taylor's home from the Army. Hello. This is why. What's your name? Marissa, she pretty. She pretty. I don't know how you did it. Huh? Pretty baby, too. Taylor, how long you been in the Army now?
7 years.
7 years. Taylor had some ice cream shoes that I coveted. My Lord and my God. Oh, Lord, thank you for Taylor and his wife, Marissa, and what they do for our country. Lord, today we pray, and I pray for him and Marissa, and I pray for our church that we will begin today to earnestly seek you. If we ain't been looking for you before, I pray that we start today. Yes. I pray that we hear your voice, that we know your heart, and that we get a touch from you, every last one of us. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I love you guys.